the message last Sunday. We have to hear that song. It's the best is yet to be. Amen, amen. Let's go back to Philippians, the fourth chapter again this morning. We're going to look at, in particular, verses 6 and 7. But I'm going to read from verse 4. Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. All men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so we kind of started in verse 6 last time. It's thought about being careful for nothing, or having not being anxious for anything. And our Lord spoke along those same lines to his disciples to not be anxious for the things of this world, the things that they need, for he is the one that supplies. And we're going to find later as we go through this chapter, we're going to find that Paul also talks to us about God's supply. But I wanted to break these things down just a little bit in these couple of verses here. I guess I want to paraphrase verse 6 a little bit for you. Be anxious for nothing. On the other hand, in everything, by prayer, and you know, when he says but, and I think that word, you know, sometimes we just kind of read right past him. It tells us that there's a different way. And he says, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. I'm going to notice a couple of things here. One is two words, prayer and supplication. And they're different words in the Greek, and they have different meanings. The word prayer carries with it the meaning of worship. And the word supplication is exactly what it means. And so if you don't know what the supplication word means in English, I'm going to read to you from a dictionary real quick. Just supplication. A plea, a humble request for help from someone in authority. And I also have the verb, by the way, which is to supplicate. And it means to humbly ask for something. So I wanted to notice that, because I wanted to that thought about humbly asking, I think, is important here. And so I wanted to notice these two words, prayer, worship, and supplication. That is, requests, the things that we need. And I think it's notable that Paul puts them together. And not only that, but then he adds with thanksgiving. And so these three things together, I think, are very important. And they're a key to what comes in verse 7. Because verse 7 starts with the word and. And I'm going to read something that one of the commentaries I read has in it. See if I can make it work. It went away from me. And he right. So this commentary, he like separated out these words and wrote about each one of them, which I thought was interesting. And the inseparable consequence of thus laying everything before God in prayer with thanksgiving. I thought that was pretty good. That's a good thought about the word and. So there's three things in verse 6, prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. So worship. And I don't think it's coincidence. I was listening to something yesterday. They were talking about coincidences, how we think about coincidences. It was kind of interesting thought. This isn't coincidence that he wrote these in this particular order. Prayer, worship. When we come to the Lord, we should come to him worshiping him. Yes, we have needs, and we are encouraged to bring our needs to him, and we'll think about that a little bit. But also, we need to come worshiping him. He is not just the one who supplies our needs. He is that, but that's not He's not just the one who supplies our needs. In other words, it's not like an ATM. You know, I go up, put my little thing in, and get my stuff, right? No, God is the Almighty, the one who deserves praise and worship in all times. He says in everything, and that word in the Greek, everything there, if you look at it in the Greek, it includes all sorts of things. We translate it everything because that's about as good as we can get, but it includes every circumstance, every situation, every place. It even includes every person. So it's kind of an all-inclusive word in the Greek. And I like that thought because we need to, the reminder for us is, no matter where we are, what our circumstance is, or who's involved, all of that needs to go before our Father. And in all those situations, we need to come to Him and worship. Last Sunday, we had a thought about Job, and we had it twice in the Sunday school and in the message. But the thought about Job was that his situation went quickly astray, if you will. And then it says that he bowed down and worshiped. That's the first thing it says about him. He bowed down and worshiped. Not the reaction or the thought that we would probably have being in his situation. Might not be the first thing that would come to our mind, but I think the scripture is trying to remind us that it should be. God is sovereign and always will be. He is in control and always will be. And so we can begin, whenever we come before Him, we can begin that with worshiping Him. He deserves and is worthy of our praise and our worship. And then supplication, asking, bringing our needs. And it says, let your request be made known. And I thought it was interesting, if you go back to the Greek, the word let and the word made known are actually the same word in the Greek. And I think if you really were to read the Greek, it probably only has one word in there. We needed to use it twice to make it sound correct in the English. But the word really, it means, and I think this is, to me, I think these things are interesting. I don't know if you find them interesting or not, but you're going to listen to what I show you anyway. But I find them interesting. The word let, it means to declare, to make known, to give, to understand. Now, Scripture is pretty clear that God knows our needs before we bring them to Him. And I remember, I can remember as a youngster thinking, well, if He already knows, why are we doing this? And, I think you have to probably mature a little bit to understand the reason here. God knows our needs, but He wants us to come to Him. And the key word is to Him. See, it says, let your request be made known unto anybody. No, it says, be made known unto God. We have a tendency to let our request be made known unto lots of people sometimes, and not to God. And He wants us to come to Him, to voice, to express our needs. And not just our needs, but the fact that we know that He is the only place for us to go with those needs. I want to go for just a minute to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the 33rd chapter, chapter 33. I think we'll just read the first three verses or so. Jeremiah chapter 33. It says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is His name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Call unto me, God, and we can go back through Old Testament and a lot of places, and we will find over and over again, God wants us to come to Him. He wants us to call out to Him. The psalmist knew this very well. Over and over again, we find the psalmist calling out to the Lord. And I'm just going to read this. You don't need to turn. But Psalm 91:15, he says, "He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." See, the psalmist knew where his rescue came from and who to go to. "Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things." You know, as we come with our anxieties, with the things that bother us to the Lord, and we put them in his hands, what we find is we find that he always amazes us. Oftentimes, I think that we come with our request and the answer. Don't we do that sometimes? We come with the request and the answer, right? Lord, this is what I need, and here's how you need to do it. And sometimes we may not say that, but in our minds, we've already kind of figured that out. I'll just come and ask the Lord, and this is what he'll do. This is how he'll take care of this. But what I find is that when we come to him and we just bring him our needs and we call out to him, he will show us great and mighty things. He will show us that he has ways that we don't understand. And I put that up this morning because I want to keep reminding us that he works all things together for our good. I would venture to say that Job did not think this is how God would do things as he went through this trial. In fact, it's pretty clear in the trial that he and even his companions, especially his companions, didn't truly understand what God was doing until that kind of the very end there. But at the end, then, you know, he makes an interesting statement. He says, "I had heard of you with my ears, but now mine eye seeth thee." I think Job's trying to say, I just saw something amazing. I just realized something amazing that God showed me. We need to come to him worshiping him because he is God and bringing our cares and our needs and our requests to him because he cares for us. I had a lot of verses on prayer. I'm not going to read them all, but I'll mention some. And you don't have to turn, but Matthew 7:7, Jesus says, "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." What I notice in some of the verses that I was studying is, as I mentioned before, God's desire that we come to him. The invitation, if you will, is there. And it's open. Come. Call on me. Ask. Seek. And all these things that he continually wants to draw us to come to him. And then in Hebrews, I am going to go read in Hebrews real quick. This is one of my favorite passages, and I could probably quote some of it, but I think I'll better go read it. Verse 19 of Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse 19 says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Let us draw near. He reminds us that we have a way now. We have an opening to truly come in the presence of God. And he says, because of this, we should draw near. God wants us to draw near. This is his desire for us. And prayer and supplication, we're just talking to God. I think I'm going to go back to Matthew for just a second. I want to bring this point out. So Matthew, the 6th chapter. Because I think it's important for us to recognize prayer and its purpose. In think I'm going to start in the fifth verse here of Matthew 6, verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard in their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. Now this is interesting here. Several things I want to notice. One is the purpose of prayer. For some, it seems that it must be to get recognition of people. You know, I pray and I go and I find a place in the public that I can pray so that I can show that I'm a pious man. You remember the publican and this and the Pharisee. You know, the Pharisee stands and makes sure everybody understands and hears what he says about himself because he's so happy with himself and proud of himself. And the publican, he can barely even lift his head. He was bowed and because he knew he didn't have anything to be proud of. Well, these are Jesus' words here. He says, don't be like those that they love to stand and be seen and make a scene of it. Prayer is a conversation between myself and my Father, between you and your Father. It is a conversation. Again, he says here not to use vain repetitions and as the heathen do. And the idea here is, the heathen, the idol worshipers, they have phrases and they'll just repeat and repeat and repeat those phrases over and over again. Because at some point, maybe their God will actually wake up. Remember Mount Carmel? And Elijah, he said, well, maybe he'll wake up eventually. He's probably on vacation. Well, they, repeat, repeat, repeat. That's not what God is looking for. It's a conversation. He wants us to open our hearts. He wants us to speak to him as our Father. This is one of the things that God's people, this one of the things in which we see growth in God's people is when they realize that they have a heavenly Father that they can talk to. It shows spiritual growth because sometimes when we first start out, we don't really understand that concept. And then he says, your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. Now, in all of this, Jesus never said, don't ask because we already know. Don't worry about asking, I already know. No, in fact, he even goes on to give us an idea of the prayer, if you will. Again, some people think that you should just recite this. And I don't care, it's scripture, you can recite it, but this shouldn't be your prayer to the Lord. You should. This prayer tells us some things, right? I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but it starts out with, hallowed be thy name. Worship. Starts out with worship. And then it moves on and gets down to asking for the things that we need. But it's just a conversation. It's not, there's no special words. There's no certain method. There was a man in Paraguay, precious brother, and when he would be asked to pray in the assembly, he was a very eloquent man. He had very good control of the language, and he also was he had a big voice that carried well. But he would always start out, "O God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac." He always started out that way. I always wondered about that, and it dawned on me later, that he was worshiping God in that starting of his prayer. That was part of his worship, to recognize this is the eternal God. And his prayers, in a way, were kind of very eloquent just because he had good control of the language. And back then I thought, well, he's just showing off. But later I came to realize that wasn't the case. He wasn't showing off. That was just his way of speaking. He always spoke like that. It would kind of be like us trying to speak, I guess, in King James language. I can't do that all the time, but his prayers were very clear. And he started out by worshiping. And we always should start out by worshiping. God deserves our worship. Some other things. Let's go to Colossians, the fourth chapter. This is the next thought, I guess, that I have, which is verse 2 of Colossians 4 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Continue in prayer. This is the other thing, the other thought that I wanted to bring is the continuing in prayer. Now, in Ephesians, you don't have to turn if you don't want to, but I'm going to read Ephesians 5, 20, because it reminds us something. I'm sorry, I got the wrong one, didn't I? Where was I going? Oh, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17. And Everett read this last Sunday to us, so this won't be a surprise. But 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Now, I've given some thought to this before. Pray without ceasing. I guess I can't do anything else then. And you know, sometimes you read this and you go, well, we can't do that. The idea here isn't like a continual prayer all day long, every day, nonstop. The idea here, I think, is the same as we saw in Colossians, which is the continuance. And that is an ongoing praying in our lives. Not just on Sunday morning or Wednesday night or at the table when you eat. You know, hopefully those are times we pray, but at all different times. A continual attitude of prayer in our lives. See, prayer is communication with our Father. And He wants us to always be in communication with Him. All the time. I didn't read this, and we had it recently in our study of Proverbs. But in Proverbs 15:8, it says, at the end of that proverb, it says, the prayer of the upright is his delight. The prayer of the upright is his delight. He delights in our prayers. He wants us to continually be in that attitude of prayer. I've said this before, but I get a half an hour of drive time to go to work every day and back home again. And sometimes I spend that time praying. I don't close my eyes. I just want you to know. Keep my eyes open, but spend some time praying because I have time and I can't do anything else other than drive. But I can certainly pray and talk to the Lord. It doesn't matter where you're at or what you're doing. Oftentimes you have an opportunity to speak to the Lord. And sometimes the need to speak to Him. He wants to hear our prayers. He wants us to talk to Him. He wants us to come to Him and to lean on Him. And to bring our needs. To bring our needs. He has a care for us that we don't truly understand sometimes. We know that Scripture says that He cares for us. But I think sometimes as God's people, we don't truly understand the depth of that care. And I think in order to help us with that, this is what I always think about when I'm trying to be reminded that God cares about me, is that He sent His Son to die for me. You can't care more than that, I don't think. I can't think of a way that you can care more than that. And if He did that to purchase me, then why would He not care about all the other things that are a part of my life? And especially, of course, He cares about our spiritual growth. We've talked about that many times. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Thanksgiving. The word there really is the word gratitude, and I want to use that word because I'm not sure sometimes we misunderstand. Gratitude. Being grateful for what we have. If everything in our life went wrong, much like Job's life there for a while. Can we still be grateful? I mean, what do we have? It's all taken away. Do you remember, Job lost everything. Everything was taken away from him. What did he have? Well, he had his God. At some point in time, all this is going to be taken away from us. It's all going to be gone. Done away. Remember, the best is yet to be. We can still be grateful because we have our God. And because we have a promise and a hope. No matter what else is going on in our lives, we can always be grateful for his care. And when we bring our request to him, not only should we express our gratitude for who he is and what he has done, but also express our gratitude for what he will do. We don't know what the answer is going to be. We don't know how it's going to come. But we can be grateful because we know that he is in control of it. There is nothing, in my opinion, more terrible than a child who is ungrateful, or even a grown-up who is ungrateful. Children, sometimes you provide them all sorts of things and they just seem to be ungrateful about that whole thing. Sometimes as God's children, we're kind of like that a little bit too, aren't we? We forget to be grateful. There were 10 lepers that were healed. How many of them came back to say thank you? One. Were the others not healed? Were they not? Did they not receive the same benefit? They did. But only one came back. Gratitude. It is an attitude. And sometimes we need an attitude adjustment. Yes. I saw that by the man that I quote sometimes from Facebook, George Huggins. He wrote something about needing an attitude adjustment because of gratitude. We need to be reminded, and I think when we come to God's word, this is something that he reminds us about, is how grateful we need to be. See, today man believes that he has accomplished something, and because of that accomplishment, he deserves something, and that he can make his own way, and so on. And that attitude, that mindset, pushes gratitude aside. See, I don't have to be grateful if I'm doing it myself. I don't have to be grateful if I can take care of it myself. But when we come to realize from God's word how inept, how incapable we are and were, then we need to be showing our gratitude. Not a single one of us could make ourselves better, could improve ourselves, could bring ourselves to a place where we deserve to be in God's presence. Not a single one of us. And so going back again to that thought in Hebrews, a new and living way that's opened up for us. How grateful we should be just to be able to come to him and pray. We should be exceedingly grateful. And so, three things. These are the three things that overcome anxiety and care. Prayer, worship, supplication, request, humble request. And thanksgiving unto God. And we're not going to make it there this morning because my time's up, but the next one starts out, and the peace of God. And that word "and," the inseparable consequence of thus laying everything before God in prayer with thanksgiving. The peace of God. And so, Lord willing, if we're still here next time, we're going to look at verse 7, and thought about the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. I think we continually need to be reminded that we have to bring everything to Him. And I said this last time, I think, but you know, people who put everything in God's hand will find God's hand in everything. And that's the way our life should be. All of our life, every part of it, everything in our life should be in God's hand. We should put it in God's hand. And when we do, then we will begin to see God's hand in all things that are in our lives. The things that come in our lives, we'll see God's hand. And if the things that come are difficult, we'll be able, like Job, to bow down and worship. Bow down and worship. Not because things went great, but because we know the one who is in control. And we know the one who makes all things work together for our good. And the best really is yet to come. Amen. Any questions or comments this morning?